grab your lunch, turn up the volume, and get ready for 3 hours of sports conversation surrounding the hottest sports topics and pop culture events of the day. It's the new Sports 180. To be a part of today's show and share your thoughts, call in to 656-9900, 656-9900, or via Twitter using @Sports180. Now, with Heather Harrington, here is Josh Ward.
Good Friday afternoon. Welcome in to Sports 180. Thank you for being with us this afternoon. We are excited to be with you as we have a lot to talk about. We continue to talk about what's going on in college sports. Communication, surprisingly, appears to be lacking in college athletics with the NCAA and the power conferences. I really am caught off guard by that, but we'll explain coming up.
Can you hold on really quick? I'm going to pop a Xanax before we get this train rolling. I just listened to Bruce Feldman and Stuart Mandel from The Athletic, and man, ultra depressing. You talk about just swallowing the truth pill and choking on it. That's what Bruce and Stuart were recently doing.
So we've got that going on. We have updates with pro sports, what's happening there. About an hour from now, there is a big announcement coming with a five-star basketball prospect. Tennessee is on the list, and I would say high on the list. We'll tell you about him coming up in just a moment. Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com will stop by at 12:30. We'll get his opinion on what's going on the last week in college athletics, the chances of the SEC playing football this fall. We'll talk about that. Will Shelton of Game Day on Rocky Top with plenty of Tennessee topics to cover at 1:30, Fat Jack at 2:30 to get you ready for some picks you might need to make this weekend. So we have you covered, and we will invite you to join us at 656-9900. Heather Harrington is here, so is Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward as we take a look around the sports world.
The biggest news, the main stories, the headlines that have everyone talking. It's time to take a look around the sports world.
So at 1 o'clock, about an hour from now, Kennedy Chandler, a top point guard prospect, five-star prospect in the 2021 class, will make his announcement. And I think Tennessee is the favorite going in here. So the Vols, which have recruited really well the last couple of years under Rick Barnes, with 2 years ago signing a class with Josiah James. Last year, Tennessee signed Keon Johnson, Jaden Springer, and Corey Walker. That's the freshman class now on campus, looking to add Kennedy Chandler, one of the best point guards in the country for next year's class.
It's just still so amazing, too, to see Tennessee on par recruiting against Duke, Kentucky, North Carolina, Memphis being back in the mix, and what they're doing under Penny Hardaway. It's just it's really exciting to be in this recruiting battle, and to know that Tennessee is the favorite for Kennedy Chandler is just that's just the state of the reality. And sometimes you forget that this is now what Tennessee basketball has become. It's really cool.
The final five for Chandler: Tennessee, Memphis, Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina. We'll have that for you coming up in a little less than an hour now. Yesterday afternoon, the Western Conference 8-9 setup was finalized as Dame Lillard made it happen again last night, going for more than 40 points in the win against the Nets. It was the closest margin you can have last night. So the Blazers sneaked by the Nets yesterday afternoon. The Grizzlies, with ease, were able to get the win. So that means the Suns, which won again easily yesterday and finished 8-0, they get left out. The Spurs also left out of the postseason for the first time in 23 years. So the Blazers in the 8 seed will play the Grizzlies in the 9 seed to get into the playoffs officially. And the way the setup works is the Blazers need to win once. So they will play tomorrow afternoon. If the Grizzlies win, they will force a winner-take-all game on Sunday. If the Blazers win, they are in as the 8 seed. So the Grizzlies need to win twice. The Blazers need to win once.
Moment of silence for the Suns. What an incredible showing that they had in this 8 games in the bubble. The youngest team that was in the bubble, they go a perfect 8-0. Devin Booker had 27 last night. He has just been an absolute stud. You got to love that young nucleus and see what they're building towards. So future looks bright for the Suns. I just hate it. They were too far back. They did everything they could to put themselves in a position to make the playoffs, and they just came up short. So shout out to them. Crazy reality of, the Spurs missing the playoffs in 2020 just goes to show what an absolute just weird year 2020 has been. That's another exclamation point behind 2020 sucks. So, but I fully expect them to bounce back. They will. And then I like the Grizzlies-Portland matchup. I was more looking forward to the Suns and the Trailblazers playing, but the fact that Ja Morant and the Grizzlies are still alive, I think that brings some excitement for the NBA fans here that are that have a vested interest in those guys.
Yeah, Joel, what do you think about the Grizzlies going into the weekend?
It's going to be a tough matchup. I do think that if they get more consistent production out of Dylan Brooks, if Ja Morant can stop having these up and down nights and play at a high level, they're going to have a chance, I would say. But you're going to need good shot making in order to beat Portland. And Brooklyn nearly had all of that last night. It was a fun show down the stretch in the fourth quarter last night. And it still wasn't enough to beat the Trailblazers. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. But you're talking about at maximum a two-game series, anything can happen.
There will be no NCAA fall championships. That was made official yesterday with the NCAA. Missouri, I just saw a letter has been sent out from the athletic department telling Mizzou fans, we are still going to look into trying to play fall sports, as the SEC, of course, is attempting to play football and others, it would appear. And in the letter, Mizzou included this. Obviously, with the attempt to play this fall, things have changed a little bit. And no one was informed. So it sounds like maybe, Heather, you, I, and Missouri's athletic department found out at the same time that the NCAA was canceling fall championships.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. That seems to be, I mean, you just think back to the Big Ten's announcement of going conference only, despite the fact that they were talking with other, power brokers around the country, that they just felt like the other guys felt like the Big Ten had dropped a bomb on them. So the fact that there's been very limited to no communication before big announcements are made, I don't understand why that is the case. I think that is a failure on the NCAA's part. I think there's no worse news than finding something out, or no worse way than finding something out as it ticks across either your screen on television or a notification pops up on your phone. Like, just a heads up, 5 minutes before, 15 minutes before, an hour, like, can you just give me a heads up so I don't find out with the rest of the world?
Yeah, I don't know. Mark Emmert might have been busy counting up all the money that he's made but not earned as the president of the NCAA. So that could have been part of the problem, which, you can understand. Mookie Betts, it's almost tough to count all the home runs he had last night. Three home runs, the sixth time in his career, which ties the most ever three home run games in a career, and he has a few more games to go. How about Mookie with the Dodgers last night?
Poor Boston fans. All I can think about is Bill
Simmons.
No, okay.
Not poor Boston fans. Not poor Boston fans. Nope.
Well, think about it. There's some good ones out there, like John Wilkerson. Come on. Mookie Betts, superstar.
Well, and yeah, he's a Red Sox fan, Boston fan. So if you're a fan of all Boston sports, nope. We're not doing that one. Not poor Boston fans. They've had plenty of winning in their time.
Yeah, I can co-sign with that. Poor Boston kid. He's going to move on to what we all have faced for most of our lives that don't include all those championship parades. But Mookie Betts, not only just a superstar on the field, he also seems to have that it factor where he's an extremely likable guy. He is a good-looking guy. He just has that superstardom built into him, and it all starts with the play on the field. I mean, I wish he was playing for a team that I had a vested interest in. I just hate that he's going to be out there in La La Land with the Dodgers for the rest of his career, and I'll probably only watch the highlights.
Yeah, I mean, L.A. is still a pretty cool place to be a pro athlete. I do wish you were with the Braves. Betts and Acuna in the outfield would be pretty awesome, but I don't think that's happening anytime soon. Tailgating update. Yesterday, near the end of our show, we had word that no tailgating. Then yesterday afternoon, UT Knoxville tweeted out, yeah, maybe some individual tailgating. Of course, we're still waiting to find out if there will be games to tailgate for. If there are no games, does that increase the likelihood of tailgating, or what do you think there? But tailgating may be on hold for football this fall.
I think, let me just tell you what happened. The announcement came out, phones at UT started ringing because people were blindsided by the news. People can't handle any more bad news right now. I mean, I'm one of those people as well. Like, just make it stop for like a 24-hour period. So people freaked out, rightfully so, and I would imagine some heavy-hitting donors also said, well, if they're going to have games, I'm going to have my tailgate. And so Tennessee had to backpedal a little bit. That is my prediction. Tell me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, so official word right now is no university-organized tailgating. So we'll see what that means. And again, we're still waiting to find out on games. That's my top priority, is finding out if there will be games. And then we'll work our way down there from there with other activities that might take place. I saw this report from the state in Columbia. Citadel appears to be planning on playing 4 games this year, including a game against Clemson. As remember, the ACC is playing 1 non-conference game. So the Citadel would be able to make some money. They'd be able to play some games. It would open up the schedule, obviously. You're not trying to work in a full 10, 12-game schedule. I guess 12 is full. But not trying to play an extended schedule. And all players could hold a red shirt, so it wouldn't cost eligibility. If you're a senior, I guess it's just a chance to play before you leave. So what do you think about that? The Citadel right now looking at maybe playing 4 games and getting some cash for those games that they would play.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think it's all about making it work for you. And I don't fault anybody for having an individualistic look and trying to look out for their bottom line. And if they can make something happen, then doing that. So kudos to the Citadel, and that'll give Clemson, you know, an opportunity to play a non-conference game, shell out a little money, and help another program. I don't think it's going to cost them, especially in the playoff era. It won't be like Auburn playing the Citadel several years ago when it cost them a chance at a BCS title.
No, I don't think
Remember,
it's going to factor into whether Clemson can get in. Yeah, I'd say you're right on that one. And then it looks like several officials, is it 7 officials in the NFL, took the opt-out opportunity this year?
Yeah, ESPN reported just a few minutes ago, 7 NFL officials. 5 of those are actually on-field officials. 2 of those were replay officials. They cited, obviously, COVID-19 concerns and the reason they're opting out. The NFL has offered them a $30,000 stipend to sit out this year, and they also have the ability to come back for the 2021 season, so they would have priority. NFL is looking to add at least, ESPN didn't dial out the number. They said at least 6 officials, so they are looking to build up a reserve in case numbers were, like in case somebody was to get it. They do have enough to cover all of the games right now, but they want to have a buffer in case there was a problem with COVID-19 and an official, you know, contracting it.
We'll continue on Sports 180 this afternoon as we open up the show, taking a look around the sports world. We'll continue to monitor the announcement from Kennedy Chandler, the 5-star point guard, announcing his decision about 45 minutes from right now. Coming up next, Cole Kubelik with some, I thought, pretty good and strong comments on the SEC's preparation to try to play this fall. What he said on Sports Talk yesterday afternoon. Coming up next, Barrett Salee of CBS Sports at 12:30. With Heather Harrington, Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. You can join us at 656-9900. Right here on FM 99.1, The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. For being with us this afternoon, we'll talk some college football with Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com. He's a big Braves fan as well. I checked in with Eric Kane today. We have a video you can watch at 99.1thesportsanimal.com just talking about a number of things that have happened, the idea of spring football, and the Braves came up in the subject line. And it's a tough time for Braves fans. Do you know that after the show I'm going down to help pitch for them this weekend?
Oh, that is so
nice of you. They need some help. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So I'm going down.
It's an easy drive, so I think you should be fine. You might want to turn off your Twitter notifications, you know, like after you're announced. Just turn those off.
Okay. I'll work on that for sure. They're down in Miami, I should point out, but yeah, they're probably going to lose. So 656-9900 is the phone number if you'd like to join us. We'll see. Yeah, that's really uplifting. How about this, though? So the SEC, we know, is trying to play this fall. Same for the ACC and the Big 12. Yesterday on Sports Talk, Jimmy and Vince talked to Cole Kubelik of the SEC Network, host a radio show down in Birmingham as well, 3-man front. I think Cole does a terrific job. And Vince brought up the player safety and the protocols behind the scenes. What schools in the SEC are trying to do? Does Cole feel like they're doing enough to make sure players are safe in the current environment? Here's what Cole said about what's going on in the SEC.
I know they're getting top-notch care. I think you had you had most of the SEC schools wanted to get out in front of this thing. When you look at how LSU handled themselves, how Auburn handled themselves, how Alabama and other schools went out of their way with the medical professionals that they put these guys in front of, the way that they were monitored, the guidelines that they followed, I feel confident that everything happening now should allow them an opportunity to be able to go out and play. Just because they understood from the beginning what this was going to be. And people will say, well, LSU had a couple positive tests, and I still think the numbers were skewed a little bit too high there from the people that I've talked to. You know, Alabama had a couple of breakouts. That was bad, sure, but now they seem to have gotten it under control. I think that you know, some of the cardiovascular testing and rigors that the Pac-12 is now beginning to discuss, those things have been happening in the SEC for years, since the 90s, and some Pac-12 schools still aren't doing it. And even asymptomatic patients that test positive for COVID at most SEC schools, and the only reason I don't say all is because I haven't talked to medical professionals at all the schools, but I would probably assume at all. I mean, those guys are getting follow-up cardiograms and echo tests on a regular basis to make sure that they're not having any issues post-testing positive for COVID. Even if they're asymptomatic, they've been following up that way. So, you know, this immediate jump to myocarditis and a couple of different things and how, you know, testing for cardiovascular issues, the SEC's been on top of that, and they've been doing that. And now they're doing more of it since COVID is here, and they've known the potential of what COVID can do. This is not new to a lot of the doctors in the Southeastern Conference.
Cole Kublik of the SEC Network yesterday on Sports Talk. I thought that was interesting, and I've asked, you know, and I don't know that I'm asking anybody specifically or even expecting anybody to have an answer, but I've wondered with myocarditis, which we're not ruling out as an important subject to cover. It is important. I don't think Cole's saying that it's not. What he's saying is it's not new information to them. They've been aware of it, but does the same scare not apply to professional athletes? I also recognize the difference. Pro athletes, they're getting paid. I know that for sure. But I don't hear it brought up as a worrisome item either for the NFL, for NBA players, for Major League Baseball players. And if it is for college athletes, wouldn't it be for pro athletes? So I don't know what to make of it when it comes up as a subject. It's one that needs to be addressed, no doubt. And I have no doubt that it is being behind the scenes. But that's another one. Add it to the list of items that seem to be to create more concern with some people, some conferences versus others, which I'm not caught off guard by. Yesterday with Missouri announcing, hey, no fall championships, we didn't really find out before you did. I mean, communication's off, and that's not as important as the health and safety of players. It's just you're going to find differing opinions all over the place, and we should expect at this point that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, and, you know, everybody's timeline is so different. I mean, the fact that, you know, maybe the SEC started looking at, or I don't know who their panel is, and I know the Athletic said that they have reached out to the SEC panel of doctors to get some more clarity. But based on what Bruce Feldman reported a couple of days ago, you know, basically the Pac-12 decided to shut down, even though I was more under the impression they were just trying to wait for one of the other Power Fives to shut down, and then they were going to do that automatically. That doesn't look to be the case. They had like this 15-page PowerPoint presentation that was presented to all of the decision makers in the conference in regards to, from their panel of doctors, you know, talking about and really leaning heavily on the possibility of myocarditis and what it means, what the long-term effects could be. And that's when the Pac-12 said, no, we're done. We're not even having this conversation anymore. We're not going to try and play. If this is on the table, this disease, then we're just pulling the plug and we'll try to play in the spring. We'll focus all of our efforts onto that. But then they quickly, Stewart and Bruce Feldman, they followed up with, the SEC has known about this condition, according to an interview with Greg Sankey earlier in the year, since April. And they have been working with their panel of doctors on addressing this. And that would back up what Cole Kublik also said about this is not new information to the SEC. So maybe it was new to the Pac-12 decision makers, but the development of myocarditis in even asymptomatic people having COVID, that it was not new information to the SEC, and that's why they didn't bat an eye when the Pac-12 decided to pull the plug on the season. That's why they are still pressing forward, because they've been operating under this assumption for months now, which I was actually surprised by because I had not known that.
Yeah, I'm not going to help much in this segment by saying I don't even know what to make of it. It's not like doctors just found out about this. You can go to Google.com and you can read stories about athletes dealing with myocarditis. Now, COVID's new. I recognize that. But it's just around we go. And it's also, it's just going to happen that data and information is going to be analyzed in different ways. And in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten and other conferences, the Mountain West, the MAC, they've decided not worth it. In the SEC, the ACC, the Big 12, Conference USA, I do think that's worth bringing up because it's not just power conferences that are left standing. You have some group of five that have said no. You've had some group of five that said we're going to try. You have the Citadel, it looks like, that's going to try to play some games this fall. You're getting all kinds of differing opinions, and you're getting a lack of transparency in some cases, and all that adds up to is just a lot of frustration for a lot of people on the outside. Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, what he makes of the latest with college football and college athletics. We'll ask him coming up next. Joel Silverberg has a midday sports minute for you right here on FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Download the WNML app. Point guard Kennedy Chandler's announcement is coming up in about half an hour. We'll have you updated on what he announces as Tennessee is very much in play there for the 2021 point guard prospect. We are pleased now to go to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline and welcome to the show Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com, covering the world of college football. You can see him on CBS Sports HQ as well. Hey, Barrett, we appreciate the time as always. It's been an eventful week, I would say, in the world of college athletics and college football for sure. What do you make of the difference of opinions that we're seeing with the Big Ten and Pac-12 saying, nope, we can't do it, and the other conferences, some other conferences saying, sure, we can continue to try to play this fall?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a bizarre week. There's no doubt about it. I think with, anything really in life, you can find a doctor to say anything. You can find a doctor to interpret, different conditions in different ways, and that's kind of what you're seeing with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 versus, the rest of the country, or at least the rest of the Power Five. Not surprising. I had heard a couple of weeks ago that the Big Ten never really intended to play football this year. They felt like they had to release a schedule because, it still was a possibility. So they had to have some sort of plan. They never really wanted to play football. And I think Kevin Warren deserves a ton of criticism, their commissioner, because he's tried to be a leader in all this. I think they released that conference-only schedule before anybody else really did, because he wanted to set the tone and try to force everybody to do what he wanted to do. Now, ultimately, that's exactly what happened in that case. But I think in this case, he tried to build a coalition to cancel fall football and just completely misread the room. Because obviously the Pac-12 is going to do it. They're the Pac-12. They don't want to play football anyway. But, I think he misjudged how much power he had in the commissioner circles. And as a result, he's put his program or his conference in a very tricky spot. Because let's be real about what happens if the other conferences play. You're basically putting all of your member institutions on a diet version of the death penalty that SMU got. They're not going to be able to recruit. They're not going to be able to keep players, and it's going to take a little while for any of these programs, including Ohio State and Michigan, to recover from it. So, it's not surprising that that's how this went down. It makes for an interesting couple of weeks because, if any of these other conferences play, it's going to drastically shake up the college football landscape for years to come.
Barrett, for people like me that are just grasping to the last straw of hope for college football to be played in the SEC this season, I mean, how do you think they really are going forward, or did the Big Ten just get to the end of the road before all of us that are clinging to hope?
Play. Now, I really do think we're going to play. I think, the SEC and ACC definitely are on that track. I think the Big 12 is getting on the highway, maybe. But they're not going to hit the exit ramp yet. So, I think when you consider the bubbles that seemingly are working in practice in those, football, in those football facilities, that's a positive sign. And I think if these players do get third-party testing and third-party medical oversight, which they are or will, that, you can basically, be certain that not only are you getting the best care for your program, but, the other program that you're playing on Saturday is getting the exact same care. So you're not in a bubble, but you're in as much of a bubble as you can possibly be in for college football. And I know this criticism is out there, or this concern is out there, where, what's to prevent these players from going to parties and going on dates and hanging out with friends? And it's like, all right, look, first things first, when you're a football player, you're a football player. You don't get to go out all that much. Second of all, how is that any different than what happens anywhere else in the world? That's human nature. The Cardinals have only played 5 games because players went to a casino. you're going to have that issue. So, I just think that, again, if you're getting the care you need and you're getting the testing you need, which Power 5 programs will have, that, what's the difference between having contact practices and being around people 24/7 at a football facility of your own and playing a game on Saturday against players who have got the same treatment? I know it's a little bit more of a risk, but it's only a little bit more of a risk. It's not a huge deal.
Barrett Salih of CBSSports.com. So how do you feel about the chances of the SEC, Big 12, and ACC, Conference USA, anybody that's trying to play, how do you feel about the chances of them being successful in those efforts over the next, 5 or 6 weeks that we're looking at?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think they'll all be successful. Maybe not Conference USA, but Sun Belt's going with the SEC. Like, Sun Belt will go with the SEC. And I think they're going to have a really solid plan. I think the fact that you've got built-in off dates to handle variables that are mixed in is certainly going to help. The protocols that are in place for regular season and for fall camp, they are more stringent than what they have now, and what they have now is typically working. So, I think that you're going to see it's going to work. I think it's going to be fine. And I wouldn't be surprised if this happens either. The ACC has its plus one. The Big 12 has its plus one. And the SEC says 10 games only. If the Sun Belt's going to play and maybe Conference USA too, I wouldn't be floored if the SEC comes back and says, all right, you get a plus one, but it's got to be a group of 5 team in your state, because these are all university systems, right? Like, they have to have some sort of revenue coming in to survive. So if you can get the big boy in the state to play the little boy in the state, then, you're doing a lot of good, especially if they're following the same protocol. So, I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it's likely to happen, but it's not something that would shock me either.
There was a comment earlier this week attributed to Steve Spurrier, and it was very Spurrier-esque. So if it was made up, I would be very disappointed. But he said, just go ahead and play the conference schedules and then pick 2 SEC teams to go up against Clemson and whoever else from the ACC, because most likely they would have been playing each other in the championship game anyway. But hearing comments like that, it does go to show that there just is a moving forward mentality that we all have in this region of the country.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be for that too. Clemson, Notre Dame versus, Alabama and Georgia or whatever. I'm down with that. That'd be awesome. It's a different animal. I think obviously college football, and you've heard politicians say this, and I hate that this has become political because, it shouldn't be. And in fact, I think in most people's minds isn't, except for the people that are in power. It's important to have, college football around, and it's not just for entertainment. If college football doesn't happen, what's going to happen to Starkville, Mississippi? What's going to happen to Manhattan, Kansas? The whole local economy is built on that. Now, We can argue whether that it should or should not be the case, and I think people up north are saying, well, that's their problem. Well, no, it's not. That's reality, you know. And, you know, if those games don't happen, you know, even with limited capacity or no capacity, you know, it's a problem. It's a big problem. So, you know, I think where you are in the country kind of dictates, you know, your mindset of what college football is, but – there's no doubt that they're going to give it a go. They're going to do everything they possibly can to make it work here.
Barrett Salee of CBSSports.com. Barrett, before you go, the Braves are down in Miami taking on the Marlins. The Braves have had some tough breaks along the way. Confidence level in Atlanta moving forward?
They need pitching. Man, they need pitching. Glad Sean Newcomb got the boot. Really hope we don't have to rely on Volpe at some point. You know, having Tukey get lit up, you know, Kyle Wright, I mean, it's bad. Luckily the Marlins, you know, even though they've had a little bit of success this year, they're still the Marlins. So hopefully they get right this weekend. But yeah, man, we need to find some pitching, you know, whether it's Bryce Wilson coming up or Ian Anderson or whoever, there's gotta be something.
Yeah, probably won't happen. CBSSports.com. Check out the college football coverage. As you can tell, I'm down in the dumps on the subject there, Bear. But there's still time. There is still time to turn things around. Before you go, what's going on there that people can check out? As I know, you guys are covering what's happening in college football and with the decisions that will be made.
Yeah, basically everything on the website, and then, you know, we're going to have – we pretty much every other hour there's at least one college football segment on HQ, oftentimes more than that. So a lot of breaking news, a lot of analysis on what's happening. And, you know, for a college football season that is in jeopardy and for a time of year where games and practices surprisingly aren't happening, you know, there's a lot of stuff flying around the college football world, and it's all on HQ.
You can find him on Twitter as well, at Barrett Salee. Hey, Barrett, thank you for the time as always. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Barrett Salee joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Is there a prop bet out there? Will the Marlins have more wins or COVID-19 positive tests this year? Is that, like, something we can wager on?
Well, I don't know, but I'll tell you, I'm pulling for them to have more wins than positive COVID tests. The last thing I'm pulling for is more positive COVID tests.
Well, yeah, I'm not pulling for it, but they've got a clear like 17 wins at this point, and they've got 8. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, they might win the division.
What is Matt Manfred going to do if by winning percentage the Marlins win the division? The Cardinals, I think the Cubs have actually jumped them now, though, with the win percentage. But for a while there, weren't the Cards on top with winning percentage?
No,
the Cubs have
so.
Always been in the lead. Okay. But somebody was talking about that on a national program, and they were like...
The Cards are 2-3.
Okay.
So, they have a losing record.
Yeah.
You may be thinking of the Marlins.
Maybe
the
Marlins, what it is.
Yeah, they came back with having only played 5 or 6 games. I mean, they're up to 12 games now, so, you know, they're not too far off some of the other teams. Phillies have played 14 games. The Braves have played 20. The Mets have played 20, so they're certainly not caught up, but the... I'm no Marlins fan, but I want the Marlins to finish out their season. I want the Cardinals to get back playing. I don't know what to make of St. Louis, but you know, for everybody else, yeah, I want them to play. I want no COVID positives. That's what I want.
Yeah, what about all these stories now that are creeping into the mainstream of guys just cannot stop themselves from either going out or trying to sneak people in hotels? It's just, I mean, you had Clevenger
the Seahawks. They released a player yesterday who had been caught trying to sneak a girl in wearing Seahawks gear to try to make it look like she was a player on the video camera.
An undrafted rookie. If there's anybody that should not break any sort of rules right now, it's undrafted rookies, because their investment in you is basically zero, and they will cut you. Like, don't be dumb. D-U-M.
AC Slater just walked down the staircase and said... stupid. We'll come back for the face-off. Joel Silverberg sets us up there with Heather Harrington. I'm Josh Ward. This is FM 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thanks for being with us on this Friday afternoon. It is a feel-good Friday. Do you agree with that, Heather?
No. No. I think it's a survive Friday. Look for the news dump at 5 or 6 o'clock tonight and maybe go have a cocktail. Enjoy your weekend.
The SEC last week announced its two added opponents for each school at 6 o'clock on a Friday. That was impressive.
Yeah, and the fact that people were paying attention, the reason I know that is because my phone was blowing up with how mad people were at Tennessee getting Auburn and Texas A&M. Thought it was much too difficult.
Now, yesterday you told us about your phone blowing up over the tailgating news. Now you're telling us about your phone blowing up last Friday over the SEC opponents. Is really the goal here just to tell us that you're really popular and a lot of people like to contact you to discuss subjects of importance? Is that what's going on here?
It's really only a small handful of people, but we are on a group chat situation, and so people like to chime in, and then the memes come, so there is a blowing up of the phone, but it's not because 100 people are texting me. It's because 5 people are texting me 100 times.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sensing a little bit of a humble brag there. Hey, look at me. I got some activity on my phone.
I got some friends.
Yeah, you don't see me mention that Cole Kublik liked one of my tweets today, do you? That was a tweet that mentioned him, but still liked it.
Well, you just got to patted yourself on the back there, buddy.
Right. There's the whole game. Who's the most famous person that follows you on Twitter? You don't have Twitter to follow, so that's different, I guess. But, yeah, there's that game people love to play.
Do you have any famous people following you?
Too many to count, frankly.
I didn't know that was a game. I know that it's a game to brag about the people you've been blocked by. Like, that's a troll game that's out there. I have seen
that. I discovered something recently. Something that, now we've really ventured into stuff that people nobody cares about. I discovered recently that Jalen Rose blocked me. I couldn't begin to tell you why. I'm guessing he's just a big blocker and something would have happened and I ended up getting blocked. But I think that's my most famous block. I don't know why it would have happened. I don't block people.
There's a mute button, right?
I do use the mute feature. That has been used. But yeah, again, subjects that people aren't that interested in. So let's hit the face off.
You want some? Come get some.
Head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's face off.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man.
Presented by Fort Sanders Health and Fitness Center.
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
By the way, you can find me on Twitter at Josh_Ward if you're so interested. At Sports180 as well. Joel, what do you have for us here today?
That's a big if. George Kittle and Travis Kelce both got big deals yesterday. Which tight end would you take?
This to me is close. It's almost a 1A, 1B as much as a 1 versus 2. I would go Kittle. His combination of pass catching, playmaking ability, and blocking ability, I give him the slight edge. Kelsey's a terrific playmaker in his own right. He helped the Chiefs win a Super Bowl last year, but I'll go Kittle then Kelce.
I agree with you. This is a tough call to make because both of the guys are so dominant. I'm just going to go with experience factor. I'm going to say George Kittle because his life shelf in the NFL, or shelf life, excuse me, is a little bit longer than Travis Kelce, who has played, what, he's going on his 7th season right now. So give me George Kittle. Also, best recruiting photo I've ever seen, George Kittle, late bloomer.
Who is your NBA bubble MVP?
I think you've got to go Damian Lillard. The fact that he had 111 points earlier this week in back-to-back games, and the fact that he willed his team into this playoff position to try and get into the postseason, I think it's Damian Lillard with a slight advantage over Devin Booker.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same order, probably. I think it has to be Damian Lillard. The shots that he has been able to hit, how he's put the offense on his back, and we started to find out that C.J. McCollum's not been 100%. He's been out there playing a big role, but Lillard probably felt that he had to step up in a bigger spot at times, and he did that, so Dame time for the MVP of the bubble.
How about your pick for team of the bubble?
This one, I don't know how it's not the Suns. I know they didn't get into the playoffs, which was the goal, but they went 8-0. They didn't lose, and they looked really good along the way. So I will go with the Phoenix Suns, who have to be disappointed not to make the playoffs, but also have a lot to build on heading into next year.
Yeah, and the fact that I agree with you. So we're tied neck and neck now because it is the Phoenix Suns having a perfect 8-0 run in the bubble. I hate that they missed out on it, but this was an extremely young team, the youngest team in the bubble, and for them to show up, fight for their coach Monty Williams night in and night out and do what they did just gives Suns hope, Suns fans a lot of hope for the future. So I think it's the Phoenix Suns.
Magic Johnson turned 61 today. Is Magic the greatest Laker of all time?
I'm going to go with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and that also ties into the fact that he is just Mr. L.A., having played his college career at UCLA. I know he got drafted by the Bucks and spent several seasons there, but Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I got to put him as the George Washington on the Lakers' Mount Rushmore.
I am going to go Magic. It's not an easy conversation because of all the great players. Heather and I discussed ahead of time. I don't really factor LeBron in here. I think he's the greatest player to have worn a Laker uniform, and that's also a really tough competition with him, Magic, Kareem, Kobe. But I think I go Magic, Kareem, Kobe as my top three. And Mr. Laker, you could make a case for Kobe, but 9 finals appearances, 5 titles, give me Magic.
Who will win this weekend, the Blazers or the Grizzlies?
Give me the Blazers in 2. I don't think they win tomorrow. The Blazers, I wonder how much gas is left in the tank. But the conversation applies to the Grizzlies as well because they had to win every game was their approach. They've dealt with injury issues, including to Jaren Jackson, a big piece in what they've done. So I'll say the Grizzlies carry that underdog role in tomorrow but lose on Sunday.
I just think they're going to be going up against a full-strength Blazers team that is fighting, and Damian Lillard looks to be very motivated at this point. I'm going to say it's the Blazers, and they take care of business in only 1.
Ooh.
All right, Heather gets the win. You can't touch this.
Man, Joel, I gave your team a win yesterday, and I still can't get the dub. Okay, that's fair. I still took the Blazers to win the series.
Yes, you did.
I'm excited about this, by the way. The play-in, you get a slight advantage. It is an advantage as the 8 seed, only needing to win 1, Grizzlies needing to win 2, but added intrigue to trying to get to the postseason. Also, these final few games, they've included a lot of rest on the other side. Like
exactly.
Yesterday, the Bucks, they just kind of lay down. The Suns, that happened in their game against the Mavs as well, as they're left out. But all these games, not all, but several of these games, you've dealt with a number of teams that have rested, so you're not getting full competition. You'll get that tomorrow. I mean, it's NCAA tournament style. Win or go home for the Grizzlies, and then the same would apply Sunday if they do play then.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of intrigue there, and the fact that we both had Damian Lillard as our MVP, with him leading the charge, I just have full confidence in the Blazers advancing to take on the Lakers.
We'll see what happens. Ja Morant fired up. Now, he tweeted out just underdogs, saying, hey, we're the underdogs here. Well, yeah. I mean, you're the 9 seed, and the Blazers roster's better. But, that chip on your shoulder, let's see if it can help. Kennedy Chandler, what does he do? We'll keep you updated when we come back to begin hour number 2. The 5-star point guard set to announce. Tennessee's got a really good shot here. We'll catch you up coming up next here on Sports 180 with Heather Harrington, Joel Silverberg, I'm Josh Ward. This is FM 99.1, the Sports Animal.